The Vox Markets Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Richard Hopham, CEO of XP Factory. XPF is ticker there. Richard, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. How are we doing?
Yeah, good. I've had lots of people say, are you getting Richard on the podcast? Because do you know what? This market is frustrating because you came up with a trading update last week. And I don't think the figures could have got any better. I was struggling to see, less than double digit, some triple digit percentage rises across the board there. Before we get into this, Richard, and they're great figures, before we get into it, for people not familiar with XP Factory, explain what it's about, please.
Well, we've got two brands that operate under our XP Factory banner. We've got Escape Hunt and we have Boom Battle Bars. Escape Hunt is now the largest global provider of Escape the Room experiences. So for anyone unfamiliar with escape rooms, ostensibly you come and visit us, you bring your team of colleagues, you bring your team of friends, you bring your family, and we'll immerse you in one of our heavily themed games rooms, and you will find clues, solve puzzles, ultimately to, in inverted commas, escape the room within an hour. Mm. And that business now has grown to 46 sites. We are exactly split down the middle, owner-operated and franchised. We owner-operate entirely in the UK and almost everywhere else internationally is franchised, but for three sites which we owner-operate, one in Dubai, one in Brussels and one in Paris. Mm-hmm. And as for Boom Battle Bar, that's a much newer business for us. We've grown this very aggressively, and it's a business that sits right in the crosshairs of competitive socializing, which for me is one of these really exciting, fast-growing sectors of the emerging leisure economy. And in terms of its format, we are a large format operator. Typically, the bars will be 10 to 15,000 square foot. Of course, they're going to be anchored with great drinks, cocktails, street food. But then around the periphery are a load of different games that are attractive to different groups of people. Again, be it friends, be it families, be it work colleagues, etc. Those games might involve axe throwing. They might involve crazy darts. They might involve golf. They might be karaoke. There's a lot of stuff to do in and around it, built quite deliberately in a modular fashion, such that we're able to bring games in, take games out, and remain very, very relevant whilst anchoring around that age-old galvanizer of social experience, which is food and drink. And in terms of scale, we've gone from nothing to quite a lot very quickly. This is a very new business for us. We got going with it at the very back end of 21. And as we're sat today, we've got 28 Boom Battle Bars trading, within which, again, funnily enough, exactly split down the middle, 14 are owner-operated and 14 are franchised.
Yeah, wow, it's amazing. Do you know what? I was thinking, if you look at the leisure, in fact, let's go through the figures, because I think there's an issue here why the share price isn't, performing as it should, really, with these kind of figures and these numbers. And I think it's to do with the sector, but they're not seeing that, you're a new type of leisure activity that's fast growing, unlike the rest of the sector. But take us through some of the highlights, if you could, from this trading update, which is 6 months to 30th of June, please, Richard.
Yeah, I guess the key highlight to draw out really is just one of transformational scale. Now, when you and I were last speaking, we just put out our trading statement around last year's full results. And of course, in that statement, I was talking about this transformational growth, this momentum that we were garnering through that business. And I said at the time that, if everything went as we hoped that it would, we would start to see the continuation of that through 2023. And indeed, we'd start to see the annualizing effect, the maturing effect of these businesses. And so the net effect of that is to have had a business which last year delivered in round numbers £22 million of sales across the year. But this year, we've delivered £19 million within the first half. Mm-hmm. So really quite a substantial increase, I would suggest, year on year. And by way of a true comparison, that trades against £8 million of sales in the equivalent period in 2022. So a very, very significant degree of revenue growth. And of course, that's comprising two dynamics. It's obviously got the component of same-store sales growth, so like-for-like sales growth, and new site sales growth. So those like-for-likes, that's a really key indicator of how well you are doing, how well the teams are coming together, and most pertinently for me, how well you remain important and relevant to your consumer set. So if we take the businesses in order, Escape Hunt, which is our more mature business, delivered 20% like-for-like sales growth over the half year to essentially the beginning of July 23. And that's a truly, truly impressive metric when you consider that actually a lot of those sites are now 6-7 years old. And indeed, our first cohort of sites, that first 7-site cohort, which was built in 2017, which I might continue to reinforce and add that has not had game zooms changed, it is still trading the same collection of game zooms as we first installed. Even those units delivered 14% like-for-like growth. So a very, very impressive degree of growth, I would suggest, in that business. And then Boom, similarly, now, we have far fewer sites trading in half one last year, only 4 on the owner-operated side. But nevertheless, we've seen 19% like-for-like sales growth in that business as well. And so, you know, again, another very, very strong performance through that half year in terms of same-store sales growth. But of course, the really aggressive driver of growth has come from the new sites which we opened through the second half of last year that are now starting to come good and annualise.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think there's a point here? Like, we all know, you know, the cost of living crisis has been bandied about a lot, and the leisure sector, or traditional leisure sector, has sort of suffered. You know, you've got pubs closing at the fastest rate, I think, in a decade. You've got, you know, restaurants also suffering. And yet, you are sort of being lumped in with this sector. But when you see, you know, look at any other sector. Where are the leisure sector, within the leisure, where are they growing 19 and 20% like-for-likes? They're not. You are a different sector, you know, competitive socialising and gaming, all that, and it's just a different sector. I mean, it's almost like you are, do you feel like you are being, you know, lumped in with a sector that's not growing, that's suffering, but you are not, absolutely not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, of course you feel like that. You know, it's obviously I'm certainly not wired to wallow in any form of self-pity, but it is one of those things where you put out trading statements like the last few that we have, actually, it's not just this one, it's the last few, and you do see a share price that hasn't moved materially, and that does feel, you know, certainly a little strange. And you have to hang on to the fact that actually, if you keep chipping away at the things that you can control, yeah, i.e., the delivery of the best customer experience that you can muster, the delivery of the best teams that you can hire, and you obsess about just getting better. If you have to take the mindset that nothing will ever be good enough and you have to keep going and getting better, you have to believe that there's a point in time where that gets realised in the market and so on and so forth, you know, so long as those fundamentals remain good. But really, the sector per se, I think that, you know, yes, of course, the cost of living crisis is very prevalent, and I would be ridiculous to suggest that it couldn't, or that it isn't, or couldn't have an impact on us as a business. You know, nobody should be out so arrogant as to suggest that they sit outside those pressures. The thing that I would probably point to, however, is that, you know, all the customers that we speak to, and you know, across the teams, we speak to a lot of customers. It's very much part of our sort of DNA to try and create those relationships with customers in both businesses. And some of the narratives that are coming through, I guess, are interesting. And what you're hearing quite a lot is that actually, whilst, yes, of course, it is getting tougher, and yes, of course, there is far more competition for, your spare money has to work harder. Actually, again and again, we're hearing that going out and enjoying leisure pursuits with friends is an essential part of life, because it is such an essential part of managing your own mental well-being. And so, you know, I think that there will still be, even within the cost of living crisis, people needing to go out because it's just good for their well-being. So I think the manifestation of that quite possibly is that you go out less. You know, maybe I was going out once a week, maybe now I can only afford to go out once a fortnight, maybe once a month. So then the onus is on us to make sure that we are absolutely delivering the best customer experiences that we can, such that we're closer to the front of the consumer psyche at the point when you are making that purchase decision. And I would suggest that the team have done such a good job consistently in delivering for customers. That plays out in all of the sort of review metrics that we see versus ourselves, and indeed versus the competition. And I think that's the thing that you can point to that hopefully stands you in a degree of better stead relative to some of the broader leisure market.
Yeah, it's very interesting you say that, because I can understand, you know, my father-in-law is a regular, you know, because he goes to a bar regularly, and he stopped doing that. And you think, well, me, and you're right, it's almost like, you know, what you offer is more event-driven, socialising event-driven. So maybe the average person will cut down on their sort of regular going to the pub because it is costing more, you know, but yet they'll still do something special with socialising friends, like, you know, Boom Battle Bar and Escape Room, because, you know, they think they're not a cut back completely on socialising, but, the, you know, it's now become more special to them to socialise, and so they're looking after their pennies and pounds, not just, you know, having the odd pint here and there, cutting back on that and saving up for, you know, proper socialising events. So I think, you know, like I said, your, you know, Boom Battle Bar and Escape Room will be less hit than the traditional sort of pubs and whatever, because people are cutting a little back on those kind of things that they're not needed. You know, you can go 4 or 5 times to the pub, you can go once maybe and then do something special, you know?
Well, and I think what's also a really interesting point is that, of course, our customer split is very different. So, and we can talk to the consumer versus corporate perhaps a little bit later. But I think one of the things that's really important about both of our businesses, Escape Hunt and Boom Battle Bar, and, you know, this isn't, you know, by luck, this is very much by design. But when we were creating these businesses, we were very, very specifically looking to try and build businesses that were as attractive if you were male or female, as attractive if you are friends or work colleagues. And I think, you know, back in the day, I used to describe Escape Hunt particularly as being this incredibly well-democratized form of leisure. Now, what I meant by that was that when you looked at the profile of the people that were there, it was exactly split down the middle, male and female. Mm-hmm. It was really a very broad distribution across age bands, which was interesting. It was equally as popular if you were friends and or if you were work colleagues. And actually, we're quite close to that shape for Boom Battle Bar as well. And it's really important because if you're coming out with a group of friends, what you don't want to do is pick something that's got the one activity that 3 of you might like, 4 of you might be a little bit indifferent on, and the other 3 are, you know, quite turned off by. Hopefully, if you come and, you know, spend money with us, there'll be something for everybody there and something that you will enjoy. And I do think it's an important part of it.
Yeah.
It's why, I think that's why we've proven so popular with corporates. You know, if you're arranging a work night out, it's very difficult to find something that everybody likes. Whereas, of course, in our formats, that's a little bit easier.
Yeah, and I've said before, you know, when you're organising something like that, a corporate event, you generally got to do 2 things. That's book the drinks and the food, and then book something else for fun to do with Boom Battle Bar or Escape, and it's all there in one venue, you know, so it's a lot easier. Let's talk about what you describe in the RS as network development. So what's the latest Boom Battle Bar site you've opened then, Richard?
Oh, I think this is really exciting. So the latest one is actually in Dubai. So we opened in Dubai a couple of weeks ago. Really exciting site for us in the Hilton Hotel in Jumeirah. Mm-hmm. And it's just opened fabulously well. We've been delighted with how well that's come out and trading. We've been delighted with how well it's being received by the customers there. And I think it sets a really exciting tone. Now, is Dubai in and of itself a strategic location? Probably not. But is it a very good test for how we can operate internationally, how we run a team on the ground, how we manage that from here? It's a fantastic test for that. And so far, really, really exciting.
Yeah. So you are looking around maybe, you know, it's a good test site. Because let's be honest, it's a format that'll do well in many countries around the world, won't it, really?
Well, I think that's right. I think the market in the UK, which is obviously the strategic market, is huge and very much uncapped at the moment for us. Or sorry, at the very least, what's the right word? We've got a lot of runway to go still in the UK, and that remains the strategic focus. Mm-hmm. However, it is obviously a very easy and natural extension to see how this can play out around the world more generally. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's immediately in the strategic crosshairs, but of course I'd be lying if I said it wasn't in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's interesting here is that we are in this, you know, like I say, cost of living crisis. We've had rail strikes and it's, you know, unbelievably hot weather, which people tend to spend out. But you're still hitting your figures. That, to me, is very encouraging. You know, you mentioned, you know, when there's no rail strikes, and we've had, in fact, recently, the rain, I thought that's going to be good for Boom Battle and Escape, and the rain is non-stop. But I mean, and also when the cost of living pressures ease, you know, if you are hitting your figures right now, that's got to give you some encouragement, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we're clearly very encouraged by it as well. And don't get me wrong, it's never all smooth sailing. You know, weather, train strikes, etc., do impact you. So what you have to do is that you have to hope that you can trade better when the dynamics are with you. And of course, that's what we're showing that we can do. So yes, of course, it's extremely encouraging to be hitting the numbers. And we've reinforced confidence for the year end as well, given what we think we know today. But I think the point to reference as well is that actually, whilst we are hitting our numbers, we have set for ourselves incredibly aggressive targets to hit in and of itself. You know, bearing in mind, this business is more than doubling this year against a backdrop last year, which tripled. So it's not like we're setting soft figures. We're setting very, very aggressive targets for ourselves, and we are going all out to hit them. And of course, you're absolutely right. It's been incredibly encouraging to see us do that so far.
Well, I'm thinking either the share price rises to reflect, the value you're creating, or you can see some legacy leisure business thinking, we're going to buy some growth here. Because, there must be some big companies looking at you now, looking at your growth and thinking, that's the area you want to be in. Do you think?
I mean, I guess, I wouldn't want to, comment particularly on sort of the strategy of other companies in our space, other than to suggest that it would be a real surprise to me if people have missed just how exciting competitive socializing is. And it's certainly very much more common for businesses to, in a lot of cases, look to sectors before, and maybe look and learn a little bit. So I'd be surprised if we're going completely unnoticed, given the very aggressive rate of growth.
Well, let's be honest. So if you are in the leisure industry and you're not looking at that, you're not doing your job, really, I suppose, because that's part of the job. Marvellous stuff. So, Richard, we could then, if someone's listening to this, likes the sound of what you're doing, but are not yet following the story, and it's a very exciting story, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
So I think the three reasons for me are probably very similar to the three reasons I've given you before. I think firstly, for me, longevity in a business comes from doing the right thing for customers and continuing to delight customers. So if you look at our TripAdvisor scores, our Google scores, the Feedback scores, all the comparison to industry scores, I think the team is getting that right. Now, never going to sort of sit on our laurels. There's still a lot of work to do. There's a load of stuff we can be doing way, way better. But I do think we're delivering for customers, and I do think that's a really important marker for any longevity that you're likely to see within a business. I think secondly, what you're going to see this year, and indeed what you've already seen to the first half, is a business that's carrying some serious momentum right now. So, we've talked about this previously, Justin, but you don't have to go back very far. In fact, only to the year end at close of 19, where we delivered less than £5 million as a business. We're materially ahead of that now. So I think it's a really exciting place. And I think thirdly, you have to recognize that the size of the market available to us is really significant. The runway opportunity in the UK remains very, very, very underutilized. That's exciting. Clearly, it's an obvious extension to see how you can move into markets abroad and further afield. So, of course, there's a question mark on how quickly you can do that and how you would get it done operationally. But I would stress that, with Escape Hunt as an example, we run a very successful international business. There has to be scope to do that at a point in time. So I'm not suggesting we'll get there tomorrow, but just think about the size of the market. There should be an awful lot to go after. And I would suggest that those would be three very good reasons to be watching us.
Yeah, exactly. And you are still at the start of this journey. And I just look at the broker there, and the broker sees just based on this year's figures, a target of 32 pence, which is 85% higher than we are currently. So and that's not looking ahead beyond this year, pretty much. So
Correct.
That's quite exciting. Marvellous stuff, Richard. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future.
Lovely to chat to you, Justin. Thanks as always.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.